This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. This is a very interesting one. My dad just moved in downstairs. He's got some health issues. We got these two dogs that are now going crazy, which is causing my dog upstairs to go crazy. It's a really tough situation, but we go over some really, I think, cool and creative ways to manage and deal with. So it's a good behavioral study for you guys. It's also, if you are dealing with something like this, this is going to be very helpful. It's very detailed. So I hope that you enjoy it, because I'm pretty sure that you will. Also, we have some seminar dates coming up. I'm coming to Canada, Denver, Seattle, and then the tickets for Australia and London area, but in England, are going to be announced May 1st. We're going to come this November. September, we're coming to England, and November, we're coming to Australia, and we are so excited to come back. All the tickets and information are linked below. Thank you guys so much for listening, and enjoy this podcast.
We just have a crazy dog on our hands right now.
All right, what's going on?
She is a rescue. She's a hound mix. I've had her for 2 years. We've had a little bit of a switch in my house. My dad has dementia, and I've moved him and his wife into an apartment in the lower level of my house. Mm-hmm. They have two dogs, little ankle biter dogs that bark all the time.
Okay.
And so she's already taking anxiety meds because she...
Your dog?
Being a rescue... Huh?
Your dog is taking anxiety meds?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's a rescue, and she just... Every time I'd leave the room, she'd lose her mind.
Okay.
And then we've gotten her calm. She has her crate. She's crate trained. She goes in her crate. But yesterday, his caregiver came in the morning, and she was fine, but she forgot her purse, and she came back at night, and I wasn't home, and she jumped the gate and attacked her.
Okay, how old is the dog we're talking about?
She's will be 3.
Sorry, I didn't mean how old. How big is she? What kind of dog is she? Sorry.
She's a beagle mix. Okay. So she's like 45, 50 pounds.
Okay. So do you feel like the other dogs in the house has started to make your dog anxious and protective and different? Is this like a different change of behavior here?
Yes. Way worse.
Okay. So did the aggression and protectiveness and this anxiety, was it before? Was it there a little bit, and now it's worse?
The anxiety was more like a separation anxiety.
Okay.
When I would leave, you know, she would bite and chew things up. At first, when I first got her, we tried to put her in a crate, and she lost her mind. So then I would put her in my bathroom, because then she felt safe. And then I got a large crate, and gradually worked her into that. Now that's her safe zone. She will run to that if she's in trouble.
Okay.
She is food aggressive. Meaning if she steals something, she runs to her crate.
And she'll actually try to bite you if you go to try to
take it away from her.
Right.
Okay. And that's always been there?
Not as bad as it is right now.
Okay. So
it's like she's going on a spiral downhill.
Okay.
I mean, she even bit you last week, Kim.
Yeah, the other dogs cornered her, and I was trying to get her out. She ran downstairs, and I was trying to get her out of my father's apartment, and she lunged at me and got me. But the other dogs had her cornered.
Okay, sounds very stressful for everybody there.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Okay. Okay, so just to recap, Kim, your dad has moved in downstairs with two smaller dogs, and the anxiety from your dog and the reactivity and now even aggression by attacking somebody has gotten way worse. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Okay. What is your dog's name?
Bella.
Bella. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is your ultimate goal here? What do you want to try to accomplish?
I'm hoping to save her and change her back to normal.
Okay.
I don't want to put her down, but if I have to, I have to. I can't have her lunging at people. Luckily, she just, she grabbed a hold of her and broke the skin. But I took her to urgent care, and there's really like only four little holes and black and bluing. Mm-hmm. But a bite is a bite.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still scary.
And if she gets really hyper and we try to put her, like if there's somebody comes to the door like a caregiver, we go to tell her to go to her crate. We go to get her in her crate. And if you go to close the door, she'll become very agitated and really bark like she's going to go after you.
Okay. That's after she's stimulated.
Right.
After she's worked up. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. And have you done training with her before?
Yes. Yep, I've done obedience training. She will do everything for me. Like I will make her sit. I can walk away from her. I can recall her. She'll do it all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when she's in her mood, like if I was home yesterday when all this happened, I could have controlled her.
Right. So will you? Okay. Okay. So when you put her into her crate, does she always act aggressive, or is it just sometimes?
It's just when she's worked up.
Okay.
Like if I go to work and say crate, she usually when I get dressed in the morning and start to get my work bag together, she'll go in her crate. She knows I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. And she's fine with that. So when she's just mm-hmm. When she's worked up and she's overstimulated, she goes to her crate and kind of gets agitated and frustrated because she wants to. She's probably worked up. She doesn't want to go into her, her room, if you will, and that's kind of ticking her off there. Okay. There's a couple options here. I think the first thing is when you. What do you think she's so? Does she not like the other dogs downstairs? Is she,
well,
like, why is she so worked
dogs,
up?
They were up here when we were doing the renovations to make that an apartment downstairs. Mm-hmm. Everybody was on the same level and everybody was fine. Then when we put them down there, of course those two dogs are going to think that, protect their home because that's their zone. But they're type of dogs that if she moves up here, they bark. If I walk in the other room, they bark. And I'm upstairs.
So they're barking downstairs.
Yeah.
Every little noise that we make, if you kick your foot rest in on your chair to get up, they bark. If you set your glass hard down on the trivet, they bark. Every little noise is just, they bark.
And they're just... They're protective of my father and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it. I get that they're trying to protect them. I do. But
yeah.
With all this, I just don't know what to do with Bella.
Okay. Yeah, it's tricky. So it makes sense why Bella is like this, though, that she's living in her house, and now she's got two smaller dogs downstairs barking at everything and setting her off. She's her stress levels and her anxiety levels is through the roof, and that it makes sense, right? It's like somebody constantly constantly screaming downstairs that there's something wrong, and you're upstairs just trying to catch your breath, like what happened, what's, you know. So it sucks that your dog is you know having to go through that. There's a couple of things that I would recommend. It's tough to stop the anxiousness because it's really a warrant, in my opinion, it's a warranted anxious behavior, which what I'm saying is when you have your own home and then all of a sudden two dogs move in your basement and start barking at everything, I don't think it's fair to ask Bella to not care about that. So mm-hmm. there's a couple roadmaps that I typically go down in behavior. And I always start off with like, what is realistic? What is fair? Because if there's a dog that's doing something completely irrational, not fair, unwarranted, these are the types of things we can start to really grind down easily. It's the lowest hanging fruit. But when you're living in your house and then all of a sudden two small dogs move in downstairs and start barking at every breath you make upstairs, that's going to make any dog anxious. It's kind of like sounding the alarm, right? And it's like, well, there's nothing to actually alarm, right? So it's just constantly pushing the dog in a stressful state, which is why, it's the old saying of it doesn't take much to soak a damp rag, right? It's like she's already teetering on like high levels of anxiety because the dogs downstairs are giving her that. And then if somebody walks in, bam, she's like, that must be the... So it makes sense. While all of a sudden she's now biting people, going after people, forwardly going after people, because she's constantly, it's kind of like a movie where somebody's just sitting there kind of tweaking out, where they're like, "What? Who's going to come for me?" It's like, because they're constantly being set up like somebody is going to come for you. They're like, "Oh, somebody's here. Somebody's here. Did you hear that?" Because that's what she's thinking. Mm-hmm. The dogs are downstairs barking and alerting that somebody's here, and she's sitting there the whole time going, freaking out. And then when somebody mm-hmm. walks in that she doesn't know, she's like, "Ah, oh, this is must, you know, she this is the person they've been talking about, right?" It's just setting mm-hmm. everybody up for failure. So there's that. I would just say that I think that that's a totally fair thing for your dog to go through, especially when euthanasia is even on the table. You have to really go through the fairness of it. You know, typically, just to give you context. You know, the anytime that you even put behavioral euthanasia on the table is when a dog is doing something that doesn't make any sense and is dangerous, right? So your dog, we could categorize as dangerous because we're biting people now, but it makes sense. It's not a typically dogs who in my field anyway. Typically, dogs who are euthanized are dogs that are laying down with somebody, wagging their tail, and then all of a sudden biting them in the face. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. It's not fair for anybody. Those are the cases of behavioral euthanasia that we talk about. But to me, just to paint a picture and to give you context from a professional standpoint, it makes sense why she's doing what she's doing, just so you know. So the next step and the next thing we talk about is realistic management. And really looking at, because to me, it's like the dogs downstairs are actually, in this equation, from what you've told me, the dogs downstairs are actually the problem. And your dog is a product of that problem. And it's like, I don't think it would, and I know you don't want to, but it's like, it's not fair to look at Bella and say, all of a sudden you're doing these things. It's not really all of a sudden. It's just two dogs downstairs kind of pulling the fire alarm every 30 seconds and your dog's having a panic attack. Makes sense, yeah, right?
That's
so
exactly what's happening.
Yeah. So the good news is especially, again, you know, when we talk about behavioral cases, which I've been doing for over a decade now, it's, you know, my specialty is any time that we are looking at a situation like this, if it makes sense, it's the best type of behavioral problem you can have. Because if you can follow a path of why it's happening, typically you can get yourself out of it. So mm-hmm. the next steps are management. And so I just want to kind of go through the things that are struggling you the most. And it sounds like when you're not home, what was the context of the person coming in, the caretaker? Were you home during that time?
When I'm not usually home when they come in 10 to 1, but Bella's crated. So she doesn't even make a sound because she...
Okay.
It's kind of like her routine. She knows. Because mm-hmm. they've been here for 2 years.
So, how did the caretaker get bit then?
Because she came in after hours, she forgot her purse.
Okay, gotcha. I gotcha.
And she came in at 4:30 last night. Bella was thinking it's me because that's the mm-hmm. time I come home.
Gotcha.
She jumped the gate, which I've got a new one ordered, so she can't possibly jump it.
Mm.
And she goes downstairs. She stopped at the landing and looked at her because we live a raised ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other dog started barking and she went into alert mode.
Right. So the other dog said, intruder. And she's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, okay. Yeah. It's just unfortunate, I would say. So again, going through the low-hanging fruit of the biggest problems and the incidences that happen. Like, obviously, it's not appropriate for a dog to ever... Well, typically, it's not appropriate for a dog to bite a person unless you really want them to, right? But that context there in that situation is just, I think, just a big... You know, it sucks that it happened, but it's also one of those things that... So I guess my point is that happening again in the future is... not likely because you ordered a bigger gate and also somebody coming in after hours. I think now that they know, hey, you know, maybe having a conversation with the group that's coming in, if you're ever coming into the home unannounced and or out of your time frame, you need to have me at the front door, something like that. So, I mean, I think that goes without saying, but so I think the last thing would be the anxiety. Do you think that, like, if you're home, if I walked into your home right now and you were there, are you worried about her attacking new people, or are you just, how do you feel about that?
Well, now I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what she'll do.
She'll do, right. I mean, usually if I'm home, I can make her sit and wait, and that, you know, she's excited. She's usually excited to see new people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was just that situation where she's coming down on the landing to think that you're coming home, her favorite person in the world. And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. a stranger walks in. The dogs say, hey, intruder alert. She bites the person, and it was a whole kind of misunderstanding, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I'm just nervous she'll do it again, and I want to make sure we have her trained properly.
Okay.
So that we as dog owners need to learn too. I mean, this past summer we were out for a walk and she got attacked by a German Shepherd. She was on lead. The dog came running at us from a neighbor's yard.
Mm.
So I also think that has something to do with the high alertness.
Yeah.
You know, I had to take her to the vet and get her wounds cleaned.
Yeah. That sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you say, do you think right now the biggest thing outside of what you're already doing to manage the situation when people come over, is it the anxiety that she has now? Is it you don't... Okay, let me go to what you just said about the training. So here's the three things that you'll have to, you should be working on for dogs like this. And I always tell people, If you have the most aggressive dog in the world, if you have good obedience, you'll never have a problem. So if the dog in front of me was a man eater, but I had really great obedience, I could walk anywhere and do anything as long as I had good obedience, right? So that means heel, mm-hmm. down, whatever. Yep. So the thing is let's look at the equation like this. We have Bella off leash in your home, you're cooking dinner, somebody comes into the house unannounced, she goes running, whatever, or whatever the context is, somebody comes in, and let's say the gate's not there or something, like you have to have, if you have a dog that it could bite and has a history of biting somebody, even though it's not likely that it's going to happen because it's not something that traditionally happens, the best thing to do is obedience. That is the number one thing that you have to have. So recall is really important, making sure that when you say, Bella, come, that she'll come to you.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
On command, regardless of what environment is surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really important to have, because that's the first thing I would say with a dog like that. So if she starts to go towards somebody, you know, again, things happen. I mean, obviously you didn't expect that person to walk in unannounced or out of schedule, but they did. So these things happen. So having a good recall is really important. And then when you're having people over, it doesn't sound like she's a particularly aggressive dog. It just sounds like the dogs downstairs are making her so on edge that she makes bad decisions, even though she probably doesn't even want to.
Mm-hmm.
So the place command, sending your dog to the bed and having a good stay command is really important. So that means at any point in time in your house, you should be able to send your dog to their bed and put them in a stay no matter what's going on. Who's coming in, who's going out, who's walking up the stairs, who's barking, who's not. The place command is really important. So let's say the dogs downstairs are going through whatever. They're barking hysterically for whatever reason. And maybe you're just nervous about what Bella's going to do. If you have a place command, it's similar to go to your crate, but you don't have to go up and walk and shut the crate door and deal with the frustration of her snapping back at the crate door while you're shutting it.
Mm-hmm.
The place command is a targeted area that you say, go to your bed. I use it. I'm using it right now. It's a really important command to say, hey, I got stuff to do. I don't know what you're going to do. I need you to go here and just stay stationary here. So I use it a lot for younger dogs, 6 to 9 months, because it keeps them out of trouble. So mm-hmm. I don't need you to go back in your crate. You can stay out while I'm cooking dinner or doing emails in my office, but you need to be here because you don't you haven't earned your freedom, right? So if somebody comes over and you're unsure of how she's going to act, sending her to her place and working on a downstay is super helpful. The other thing that I would highly recommend is desensitizing the crate command, which means which means right now it sounds like as long as the dogs downstairs aren't barking hysterically, if you send her to a crate, she's totally fine. I would be practicing that out of the context of your routine to get more reputation in. The more reps you do, the more comfortable she's going to be. So let's say you're getting ready for work. She has this routine. Okay, you're going into work. You say crate. She goes in. You shut the door. You come home from work. She gets out. Personally, I would put her on a leash and I would tell her to crate. And I would be doing this at times where maybe the dogs are barking. I would also, like from a training standpoint, try to recreate the scenario as much as I can. So if you know that somebody's coming in, somebody's coming over, or there's noises that are going to make the dogs downstairs bark, it sounds like if you just sneeze upstairs, the dogs will bark. So I don't think it's a hard thing to get them to go off. So maybe you can just, you know, I would put a leash on her, put her in her crate. I would pay her with some food. Good crate. Give her a piece of food. Give her a treat. Give her kibble, whatever. Good crate. Now, while she's on the leash, I'd maybe stomp on the floor a little bit. The dogs downstairs bark. And I would start working on this situation. So you have the leash to correct her. You just pop the leash and say, leave it when she starts to bark at you. Because the problem right now is if you're doing this in reality, you don't have the ability to really correct her because she's off leash. She's in the crate. She's snapping at your hands when you're trying to shut it. It's kind of a nasty, you know, potentially dangerous situation. So I would control the situation with leash, treats, crate. Stomp on the floor, the dogs bark. If she doesn't bark and she doesn't react towards you, you could pay her. If she does bark at you because she's in the crate and now she's vulnerable or she might be saying, I don't want to go in here because somebody's here and we're under attack and I need to be out. She's talking back. I don't know. So once she starts to bark, you'd correct her, say, leave it. And just correct her for the barking and just let her know that that's inappropriate. And then you would just work on this for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And you'd start going through the process of desensitizing the barking downstairs. And the desensitization is really valuable that you can do well-rounded desensitization process by creating the bark. I mean, that personally, that's one of the first things I would do outside of the obedience is leash, food, stomp on the ground, the dogs bark, she's calm, you pay her. And you start really reversing the idea that when the dogs bark, the food comes out type thing. Because right now, it's not a controlled study. It's the dogs are barking, she's off leash, all hell breaks loose, it sounds like. So it's this, you know what it's like? It's the same thing as the doorbell. A lot of dogs,
exactly.
A lot of dogs, same thing. Like now my dogs are associating the Ring camera with somebody being out front, right? Cause it says out loud, somebody just detected at your front. So that's now the new doorbell. It's the same exact thing. Once the sound happens, the dog knows that somebody's here. And so I would, and this is how I've always gotten over the conditioning to any type of entry stimulation trigger, knocking, doorbell, ring, whatever, it would be doing it with the dog on the leash. And at first they go, wah, 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 you bark and you correct them. Nope, leave it. Leave it. Ding dong, bark, leave it. Ding dong, no bark, pay. And you start to desensitize the trigger. And in your case, the trigger is the dogs downstairs. So it's almost flooding them with the trigger as often as you can with control. And the control is you're on the leash and you're able to pay the dog when she makes a better decision. And so ultimately, not likely, but you could have an opportunity for the dog to hear the dogs downstairs and then come running to you for food. I mean, that could happen. That's not likely, but some dogs will do that because they'll go, oh,
she will.
Well, then good. I mean, that would be ideal.
She's a treat maniac.
Good. But that's what I would do.
Anything for food.
Yeah, you would recondition that when the dogs are barking downstairs, she gets paid. So in the beginning, mm-hmm. it's not going to be like that. She's going to, her hackles are probably going to go up. She's going to be huffing and puffing. She's going to be, I got to bark. Somebody's here. And you just start mm-hmm. working through. You stomp on the ground. The dogs bark. She gets paid. If she barks, she gets corrected. And if you do that mm-hmm. throughout the day, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. The dogs are constantly mm-hmm. barking. And then pretty soon, the barking downstairs should really decrease. The stress levels from Bella. How new is it? How new are the dogs downstairs?
Oh, they've been here.
Like how?
A couple of years.
Okay. So why is it all of a sudden become, or has it been an accumulation? An incremental thing?
It's been an incremental thing. My dad is getting worse. He's on hospice now, and I think they sense that. And I think they're trying to protect him.
Mm.
So it's not a long-term situation. He's failing daily.
Okay.
To just, you know, we're living that world right now. He doesn't know, like, he doesn't remember things at all anymore. Sometimes he doesn't know me, but the dogs barking drive him insane. He screams.
The dogs downstairs have never been disciplined, never or
trained,
no nothing, and just let them go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get cursed and sworn at by Nancy,
Yeah. Yep. So
it's two old people with two old dogs there.
Yeah, so it sounds like yeah, and it's tough, right? Because your dog's success is predicated off of somebody else, right? And that's mm-hmm. that's tough. Like, your dog's reactivity would be much better if the dogs downstairs were better behaved, and that's mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. So, those are the things I would be doing. And I think you have a lot going on. I know you have a lot going on, right? So I think the best thing to do, I mean, that's the first thing I would do, is I would put a leash on the dog. I put like a slip leash on the dog, and I would just, mm-hmm. Ignite the trigger. Bang, 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 bar, 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 bar. And you just get your leash on your dog and you just start with basic operant conditioning. Nope, yes, nope, yes, good, bad, good. And then over time, you'll start to desensitize that trigger of, I mean, I've done it a bunch of times with the doorbell. So mm-hmm. that's what I would do. And I would change locations of the house. I would go down to the landing where the door is. I would go in all places upstairs and just continue to trigger those dogs. The other option you could do, because it sounds to me that the dogs downstairs are the problem. I mean, I know that they are, but they're a problem for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're a problem for your dad. Mm-hmm. They're a problem for your dad's help, because now it's causing your dog to go after the help, and it's also stressful for you. So the other thing that you could do is just do bark collars for the dogs downstairs. I don't typically...
I try.
You did try? Okay, and not effective.
Well, they don't leave them on. They take them off because they think it's cruel and inhumane, and their dogs don't deserve such treatment.
Okay. But the...
I even got the bark thing that you can set on the floor and turn up and down.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that's just a conversation that you'll have to have with them. But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it's probably not a fight that is worth it. But the cruelty of the help coming in and getting bit because of the dogs barking is a pretty fair argument. It is what it is. I would say this. Well, if you can rehab that conversation, that would be helpful. Or the other thing that you could do is, and this is another route that I think would be sustainable, because the dogs lived upstairs before they went downstairs, and they got along with Bella before, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at times, most of the time, yes.
Yes, they did.
Except when it came to food a little bit.
Right. Well, the resource guarding from Bella is going to be there no matter what. So
let's see, any dog.
Yeah. I mean, I don't allow my dogs to eat next to each other either. And they don't have problems, and they're obviously trained. It's just when you have animals, you don't, should you, you know, could you? Yes. But it's just, what's the point? Anyway, okay. My point is this. The other route would be bring the dogs back upstairs and start training with them, because I think that because they're downstairs, I think you're right. It could be a protectiveness towards Dad. It could be just, you know, air quotes, like a new home. Right now we're downstairs and not upstairs. This is different, whatever. I don't know. Or like you said, it could just be because your dad's getting worse. The dogs are more protective, and because they feel like their person is more vulnerable, which is, it totally could be a thing. I mean, dogs are so intuitive, so that could be a definitely thing. But there's a lot of options you have, but one of the options would be that, would be, fine, you guys are the problem, because it sounds like your dad's just, and I don't know. I mean, you know better than I do, and you don't have to answer. It's just you'll have to outweigh in your head, are the dogs down there for better or for worse for Dad? That's a question you'll have to kind of chew on a little bit, because, you know, if they're super supportive for him and it keeps him happy, then fine. But it sounds like maybe he doesn't even know that they're there sometimes, and they make him upset when they bark, and it's obviously causing stress upstairs. So those are things that you can weigh out. But that would be another thing, is bring the two dogs upstairs and start acclimating them back with you, because they might come upstairs and not bark because they didn't bark before, it sounds like, or as much.
Nowhere near as much.
Yeah. So bringing them back upstairs, and then easily, two things, easily saying, well, the dogs are back up here, bark crawlers are going on, we're going to restructure this whole family here, and you start correcting them for barking, and then they stop barking, and now your whole world is back in order, if you will, from the dog standpoint. And that's... Or you do, you know, half and half. You say, okay, the dog can be downstairs at night with Dad during the night, but during the day, they're going to be upstairs. Whatever. I'm just saying, you have to be creative. Mm-hmm. You have to be creative to make something like this work, because the problem is coming from somebody else's dogs that live in your home, which is not a normal situation, right?
Right.
I mean, I deal with it with, you know, younger kids with roommates and stuff. I mean, I do talk to people about it, but it's just, it's tough because, you know, it's causing more stress in your life than in his. So that would be my best piece of advice right now, is bring the dogs upstairs, put the bark collars on them, start training them, get back to, hey, we're not barking as much, get the dogs back acclimated to each other. That'll be helpful. The other thing you can do is, fine, if the dogs are going to bark at everything, start working with your dog on desensitizing the barking through a correction and reward-based system. So you make the dogs bark. Bella barks. You correct her with your leash. Make them a bark again. Bella doesn't bark. You pay her. Good job. You can go through that cycle. That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the in the crate stuff, with her going to the crate and getting crazy because the dogs are working her up, putting her into the crate more often and getting her to a point where she's worked up, so it's not so much of a big deal, right? Because if you again, the boy who cried wolf, if you just say it over and over and over again, and it'll decrease the value of what she's doing, which will be helpful. And then having good obedience is really important. If you have a dog that has a bite history in any way, it's really important to be able to handle the dog. You know, I mean, that's a huge part of my job, is, you know, people come in with a dog that has a bite history with no control. So now you have a lose-lose here. The dog's dangerous, they're a loaded gun because the person can't control the dog, and they actually do want to bite. So it's a lose-lose. So what questions do you have on that?
Is that a program that you have and that I can take her to?
For training?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could do yes. I would also yeah. The answer is yes. You mean for the obedience?
Yes.
Yeah, she
Because
well, yes, the answer
I'm
is yes.
worried, like, if I bring her into a class with a bunch of dogs, she might lose her mind right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yep, so that would be definitely something to work on. And that's the thing is like you need to know, that's part of it. You need to know how to handle her when she reacts. So absolutely. That would be totally helpful for you to come in for training. And with training, you'll learn how to do the basics and then learn how to do the advanced. I mean, you could do whatever you want, but the sky's the limit. Then I would start working on the reactivity towards dogs. Because
Okay.
if you know how to train, right? So if you know how to train Bella and you know how to handle her around dogs in like a training setting at our facility or something, then you would know how to handle it. You know, you'd have the right tools, you'd have all the right things to know how to go home and do it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So
Yep.
yeah, we could do that for sure. And like I said, it
Okay.
would be teaching the place, teaching the break, teaching the recall, making sure she, and really what we do as trainers is we introduce it with you. Okay, this is how to do it. Go home and work on it. And then each week when you come back, we basically say, okay, where are you at? How good is it?
Okay.
What do you need to work on? And then we can certainly work on the reactivity towards other dogs. And then
Okay.
as long as you know how to handle that, right? So what do you do? How do you do it? What tools should you use? What to say? What not to say? Then you can go home and then transfer it. And so
Right.
you know how to do it at home. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
That sound good?
That sounds great. Thank
Okay,
you so much.
you're welcome so much. It's nice to talk to you.
All righty.
All right, bye.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.